And our moderator for today is Ananth Rao, who's Vice President of Business Development at Good Technology. Ananth assists in developing strategic alliances and heads the India operations for Good Technology. He joined Good Technology with Good's acquisition of JP Mobile in 2005. Ananth has co-founded JP Mobile in 1995, and there he provided strategic direction to the company. He brings an extensive background in wireless communications and enterprise software, and has following previous positions at Versent, an enterprise software company, and Nortel Networks. Ananth also leads co-leads the Enterprise Action Team at CTIA's Wireless Internet Caucus. Ananth holds a bachelor's degree in computer science and a master's degree in computer science from the University of Southwestern Louisiana, and has attended the Stanford's Executive Business Management Program. So without further ado, I'd like to hand it over to Ananth to delve into some of these interesting questions and kickstart this panel. Thanks.
Okay, thank you all. Welcome to the Emerging Trends in Wireless panel. So the key discussion topics, like I said, we'll be talking about next-generation wireless networks, proliferation of wireless devices. We'll also spend some time on the whole convergence of wireless technologies. What exactly is happening there? What's Wi-Fi? What's 3G? And how are these networks coming together? How are devices coming together, PDAs and phones and data devices and all of that? And then we're going to spend some more time on where the growth opportunities are for small companies and for large enterprises. What are the new things happening in the content space, the application space? We'll talk a little bit about consumer and enterprise market. And finally, with all this convergence, what's happening to the business models? Who essentially owns the customer at the end of the day? Who sits where in the value chain with all of the convergence happening? So those are sort of the key topics for the day. And without further ado, I want to introduce John. John Auerbach. John Auerbach is a general partner at Highland Capital Partners. John is focused on investments in the communication sector, specializing in wireless technologies and service opportunities. He has led or co-led Highland's investments in Amped Mobile, IMO, Kudos Communications, OptaSite, Starent Networks, Tatara Systems, and TriStar Investors. He's also actively involved in the NY networks acquired by Texas Instruments. Prior to joining Highland, John spent over a decade as a technology reporter, editor, and foreign correspondent. At the Wall Street Journal, John focused largely on wireless technology, developing close relationships with many of the world's largest carriers and equipment providers. John's writing about technology has been nominated for the Pulitzer Prize, and he has been twice chosen as one of the top 10 newspaper technology writers in the country. So over to John.
Thanks very much. Usually they put that picture up and it'll clear the room in about 2 minutes. I'm with Highland Capital Partners. We're a diversified venture firm based here just outside of Boston and Lexington. And we manage just under $3 billion. And we invest everywhere from $100,000 seed investments up to $40 or $50 million checks. And the two ways I think we might be a little bit different from some others out there is that, first of all, each of the nine partners at Highland is subsector focused. So I do wireless. That's all I've ever done. And we think that's very important in this wireless world, and I'll come back to that in a minute. And the second area where I think we believe we're a little bit different is that in order to drive that strategy, we as a firm work to have extremely close relationships with the customers of our portfolio companies and potential portfolio companies. And in this world, that means the carriers and the equipment vendors, to truly understand what their pain points are, what they're trying to solve. And in any space, that's important. As a space as confusing right now as wireless is, we think it's especially important. I've been speaking on wireless panels for some years now, and when I think back to 6 or 7 years ago, if a guy like me had tried to come to a wireless panel without either a Lucent badge or an AT&T wireless badge, I would have been tossed right out on the streets. Because at that point, as all of you know, wireless was really just about two things. It was about a homogeneous network, and it was about voice. And then I remember speaking at a Thai event 3 years ago, and it was one of the most crowded rooms of the event, and we were talking about wireless, and there the definition of what wireless meant was rather narrowly defined. A lot of people were looking at equipment which would help move data through these networks. But one of the most encouraging things about that discussion was that the people who were there in the room, and I know for a fact because we saw a lot of them and helped some of them, went on and created a generation of wireless startups that are really starting to make traction, have traction in the market. And I think it really speaks to the opportunity broadly in wireless. And now, as we move 3 years further down the line, wireless is really an all-encompassing concept. And what we talk about with wireless, oftentimes we mean digital media and content and ringtones and video and not just hardware and not just software, but all of the things that people do, I believe, in the most important real estate in the media world, which is a thing you most of you have in your pocket at all times and is no longer, as it was 6 years ago, something to be locked in a glove compartment for safety. So we believe that there's tremendous opportunity in wireless, yet at the same time, the carriers are still a very important force, and most companies will end up having to work with them. And because of that, going back to the original point, it's most important to understand up front how you can work in most cases. There are some examples when you can bypass the carriers altogether, but how you can actually solve their problems. And we're lucky enough to actually have some carriers on the panel today who will talk about that. But we think it's a very tremendous, a tremendously exciting time for the sector, and think that because of entrepreneurs like a lot of people in this room who are innovating and creating better ways for that device that sits in our pocket to make our lives more productive, more useful, and more entertaining, that it really bodes well for the future.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Our next speaker is Abhi Ingle. He's Vice President of Data Solutions Consulting at Singular Wireless. Abhi leads the national data sales team, which has responsibility for solution sales to the business customer segment. Abhi's team works with line of business and IT executives to define, deliver, and deploy business solutions that help corporations or government agencies to wirelessly enable their business application, including wireless email and messaging, laptop mobility, field service, Salesforce automation, public safety, logistics, field management, and other vertical-specific business processes. Abhi has an MBA with distinction from Harvard Business School. He earned his BA with high honors in computer science and mathematics from Oberlin College. So over to Abhi.
Thanks, Anand, and thank you for having a chance to come and speak with a distinguished set of folks out here. The key thing I want to stress is, quick introduction to Singular, I think, requires really no introduction. It's the country's largest wireless carrier, 56 million customers. It's a JV between two really tiny companies, AT&T and BellSouth, and we're about $33 billion in revenue, but still growing quite rapidly. The area that I focus on specifically is data, and specifically within data, the business side of the equation. And it's one of those things that has been always supposed to happen for the next year, for the last 8 years. But right around when I think John was talking to Ty 3 years ago, I would say it took off like crazy, maybe because John talked to Ty. It's possible. But we've seen astronomical three-digit growth rates now for 3 years, and you're talking about a business that's been measured for us, not in, you know, hundreds of millions, but in billions of dollars at this point this year. So what I thought would be useful to do with this audience is, since I do represent the carrier out here, is to go through a quick history of where we've been, where we are, and where things are going. And in every one of those, I've found that especially where we are and where we're going, there's a lot of truisms which are often not true, because there's a lot of popular points of view versus what the reality is. So I thought it would be helpful to sort of level set that and use that also as a basis for saying where some opportunities might be for the folks out here who are looking to build businesses, okay? So kind of looking at the timeline of where we have been, I won't take too much time on this. We started off in the 80s with networks like Artis, which eventually turned into Motion, and Mobitex with scintillating speeds of, 9.6 kilobits and 11.2 kilobits a second, which I'm sure, warms the cockles of your heart. Yeah, but if you look at what happened with every generation as we went from CDPD, Artis, Motion, and went on then to GPRS, Edge, 1XRTT, EVDOH's DPA, what you've seen along the way is the segment of customers that adopted, the kind of form factors that were put into place, and the kind of applications that were created broadened and changed and expanded with every generation of networks. And that's natural because the capabilities and the economics of what you deploy changes as networks deploy. And you have to be very cognizant of that because there are a lot of people who got started either too early or too late into these areas and kind of missed out by not understanding where the network was and its capabilities and where the general ecosystem of hardware and software needed to be. Okay? So moving on to the next page, let's kind of level set where we are. And it still amazes me when I talk to people who are, you know, what I would consider members of the Digiterati. And I still find surprising misconceptions about where things are versus not. So just level setting, there's two sort of dominant technologies deployed in the U.S. today. I'm going to kind of dismiss all the irrelevant or technologies that are dead or dying, like TDMA, AMPS, IDAN. I'll throw it in there. You know, if there's a Sprint next to a person, you can meet me outside. and talk about the two dominant paths. There's a GSM path. There's a CDMA 2000 path. Okay, and there's a mix of 2.5G and 3G technologies deployed by all the carriers that sit in this country today. And it's a very similar situation overseas where it's dominantly GSM. Now, of the 2.3 billion subs, 2 billion today, at the end of this month, we'll hit 2 billion subs in GSM, are GSM-based. So just to give you a sense of a little different picture outside the United States than it is in the U.S., where it's almost 50-50 now. So you look at this picture, there's two types of technologies. There's 1XRTT and EVDO. So using popular terms, which I don't endorse, but I'll subscribe to because that's how people understand it. 1XRTT is a 2.5G technology. EVDO is a 3G technology. That's a CDMA 2000 path. The GSM path is a mixture of what I'll call, on the 2.5G side, primarily edge in the United States today. In overseas, a mixture of edge and GPRS. Edge and GPRS are not physically separate networks. That's one network, okay? Just a software overlay to supercharge it. And then going on to UMTS HSDPA. Again, like edge and GPRS, UMTS and HSDPA are not physically separate networks. HSDPA is an overlay on top of UMTS to supercharge it. So you can roughly think about the comparables being Edge and 1XRTT, HSDPA, and EVDO. Now, you'll notice there's lots of claims being made about the peak speeds, and I can say that virtually all of them are completely irrelevant to you because you can talk about 14.4 megabits being the peak speeds in HSDPA, but when you get an experience speed between 400 and 700, that's what you need to engineer your applications to. Okay, so for the first time, 3G, what's important about 3G is that your theoretical limits as to what you can do is actually dependent more on the economics, frankly, than the technology. Like, how much can I afford to give you at the cost that you'll buy it? I could give you 14.4 megabits, but I have to have unlimited spectrum, unlimited cash flow. I'd probably charge you like a $10 million a month for a subscription. Not a lot of takers, I think. Maybe some of the early Thai entrepreneurs, but other than that. So that's where the reality is. The bottom line is people have put billions of dollars into their networks. Just singular between last year and this year, we'll put $15 billion close to into the network. So we need people like you to go out there, innovate, and build a set of applications that will help us monetize these networks. That's a lot of money to put down. Can you add a 30% operating cash flow drag on those investments? And you're talking about a pretty hefty chunk to break even. So we need you to go out there and innovate. But when you do that, don't assume that a carrier is really happy about being a dumb pipe. Okay? It's amazing how many people will come and tell me, here's what I have, but your role is a dumb pipe. Great. Next, please. Right? So we would like to find a way to work with you to try and offer subscription services to our subscribers, download services, application services, but try to think of a role for the carrier. I think that'll be smart for you and obviously good for us. Next slide, please, and we'll wrap it up. So the last thing I'll say is where are things going? Get a lot of talk about this. essentially, if you think of the GSM and the CDMA paths again, and I'll throw in the 802X path, okay? Today, you're seeing download speeds, you know, theoretical download speed in the 3.6 to 2.4 megabits. They'll continue to evolve. What the next evolution is upload speeds, okay? And those will probably hold in place, you know, roughly deployed speeds of about a megabit. Not a lot more, purely from the economics perspective right now, till about 2008, 2009. After that, both GSM and CDMA are kind of reaching the theoretical limits of the basic transmission capabilities. We'll start looking at other methods like, for example, long-term evolution, which the media refers to breathlessly as 4G or super 3G. If you read that, that's what it is. It hasn't been defined, okay? One competing path also, and potentially this could merge in the future because it is OFDM-based, is 802.16. Now, 802.16, popularly known as WiMAX, comes in various flavors. What is deployed primarily today is the fixed broadband flavor, not the mobile broadband flavor. So any talk of, you know, 3G versus WiMAX, in my opinion, is highly premature, but I'm sure Anand is going to hit me with a question on that one. So that's where things are and where things are going.
Thank you, Abhi. Our next speaker is Steve Nicol, President and Chief Executive Officer, Tatara Systems. Steve brings over 20 years of international communications industry experience to his leadership role at Tatara. Prior to Tatara, he was the President and CEO of Sigma Systems Groups, which was acquired by Liberate Technologies. Steve has spent 16 years in positions of increasing responsibility at Nortel Networks, including his role as President of Nortel's Service Provider e-Business Solutions Group, a business unit he founded and grew to over 100 million annual revenues. Steve completed his executive marketing program from the Ivy School of Business and holds a bachelor's degree in computer science from the University of Western Ontario.
Okay, thanks. So pleased to be the token Canadian on the panel. Has to be one. So a little bit on Tatara, so you understand the context of the comments I'll likely make for the rest of the panel. We're an equity-backed wireless technology company. We focus on mobile convergence. We're fortunate enough to have Highland Capital as one of our investors, and we're trying really hard to have Singular Wireless as one of our customers. Our world is mobile convergence. We have a good presence of existing customers. And if we flip to the next chart, the world we live in and kind of the fundamental drivers, there's three basic dimensions that are creating the opportunity that we're playing into. And I think the opportunity that all of us as end consumers will benefit from and are benefiting from today. On the network plane, I was pleased to hear Abhi acknowledge 802.x. You described two paths. I think there are two key paths in wireless technology, but certainly, wireless IP, whatever form that is a third path. And it won't go away, and it'll always be faster, and it'll always be cheaper than cellular technology. And I think if you look at the appropriate presence of that, and probably less debate if you look at the home and the enterprise, we can park public venues, then there is a huge opportunity and a huge demand for, convergence across those networks. Going hand in hand in that is devices. By far the most dominantly deployed device today, that's out there is the laptop in terms of a dual mode device. And we're certainly seeing through our customers like Vodafone, they're far surpassing their expectations around deployments of 3G data cards into laptops. And that's proving to be a pretty lucrative market. I think the current generation of dual-mode handsets that are emerging, and I have a Singular 8125 device, which I think is phenomenal, are the first of the generation to actually be what I would call usable dual-mode smartphones for business customers. The content side, though, is where I think it gets really interesting. And to kind of deliberately provoke a discussion, the players I've listed on this chart, you'll notice I've not included any of the the mobile operators as brands, but rather highlighted a few of what I think are the more intriguing players in terms of content and applications in this convergence world. So that's everyone from Skype, who certainly have a strong IP presence, but a very quietly launched a service they call Skype Zones, which is absolutely meant to attack this mobile convergence world. To the little Toblerone-shaped box in the middle there, which is a sling box. So the whole place-shifting video, I think, is probably the killer app initially on a consumer side to drive the need for, as much wireless data speed as you can get. And I think leave you with one thought on the last chart around the timing then of these markets. Mobile convergence usually has an adjective in front of it in the industry, which is the word fixed. We at Tatara take a kind of different view on that, and we see the fixed mobile convergence market, if you define that as primarily being substitution of your home telephone, for some clever mobile device, and you'll get cheaper voice minutes, as being probably the slowest of the three mobile convergence markets, and you know, maybe the least attractive in terms of newness. But ahead of that, you know, I think Abhi probably described it well. The mobile office market is real today. There's real money coming out of that. You know, we're seeing kind of next emerging thing being players who are going hard at monetizing content and applications.
Thank you, Steve. Our next speaker is DP. So DP Venkatesh is Chief Executive Officer of mPortal and has more than 16 years' experience in the telecommunications industry across wireless, internet, and media sectors. His roles have varied from executive management in to strategy planning and business development. As CEO of mPortal, Mr. Venkatesh oversees all aspects of strategy, sales, and marketing for mPortal. Over the past 6 years, he has led the company through its various growth phases. Prior to founding mPortal, Mr. Venkatesh was with McKinsey & Company in their Hong Kong office as part of their global telecommunications practice and worked with several leading global communication providers as a strategy consultant to their boards and management teams. With that, I'll turn it over to Venkatesh.
All right. Thanks, Anand. First thing is I look nothing like that picture because that was taken 6 years ago when I started mPortal, and people keep telling me I need to update the picture on our website. What we've seen in the last 6 years has been a fascinating change in the wireless space. When we start looking at what's going on in the wireless medium, I try to capture everything in one slide. And what we're seeing is a natural progression, and most of the other panel has already talked about content and what the media companies and the whole world of convergence is doing to the wireless space. But really, if you take a step back and look at media in general, and whatever you define it as, whether it's music, whether it's video, different kinds of media assets have gone through a series of evolutions. You know, first you had the concept of music where you went and you bought music from a music store, then you listened to it on a radio, and then you've got the concept of the iPod, and then the next aspect of it clearly we see is mobile music, whether it's music on your phone or a phone in your iPod or an iPod inside your phone. Whatever the aspects is, there's a tremendous move in the world of media into the wireless space. Speaking about mPortal, started the company 6 years ago, and the focus of the company is we enable delivery of media to mobile devices. That's sort of the simplest way of explaining what we do. We focus as a software company on enabling how these companies can deliver mobile content to end-user devices. One of the things that we've seen happen both within the industry as well as from a company perspective, it's been a fascinating ride for the last 6 years, is when we started out in 2000, we focused a lot on enterprise, thinking that enterprise adoption would drive a lot of our growth. But in 2002, when we looked at the market, we were struggling in the U.S., and we figured out that the only way we would be able to build the company is if we looked at it globally and said, who are the operators, who are the players that are pushing the envelope when it comes to data services? And while Abhi and some of the operators now in the U.S. have signed on to data services, in 2002 we felt that data was being adopted more aggressively by Asian operators, Asia-Pacific in general. So we went off and did a deal, interestingly, in India. So mPortal runs all of the data services for Reliance Infocom, which is the second largest mobile operator in India. And what we found was working with an operator who was a greenfield operator. Again, you have to understand Reliance was investing about $4 billion over a span of 2 years to build out India's largest CDMA network. And what they selected us to do was they chose our platform but to deliver content and applications, but gave us a, you know, sort of a clean sheet of paper and said, help us build the data business, and data is going to be our differentiator. So here we are, you know, we had sold them our data platform, but you've got the largest operator with all the money to spend really pushing the envelope and saying, what will people buy? What will people, you know, listen to on their phones? And the interesting aspect about India at that time was everybody in the West, in Europe and in the U.S., were looking at mobile content and saying, you know, it's the mobile internet. You know, what are people going to do mobile that they're doing on the internet? And the challenge we faced at Reliance and in India was, well, nobody used the internet. leave alone mobile phones. So telling people this is the mobile internet was a non-starter. So we had to start off, and when we worked with the Reliance family at that time, what we really pushed was you have to make it easy to use. You have to make it cheap enough. So from an affordability perspective, what Reliance did, even though we had an interesting deal with them, they licensed our platform. But for the first year that Reliance launched its data services, they did not charge for data. So they had people in India use the service. So you could download a picture of Aishwarya Rai onto your phone, or you could watch a ball-by-ball play of a cricket game in India, but you didn't have to pay for it initially. So we saw the statistics of what will people use, and I think that's been a great learning experience. And somebody actually, a friend of mine, summarized the Indian mobile content market into three letters. So he says the ABCs of India is A stands for largely astrology and religion, so we've seen a lot of horoscopes and things like that. B stands for Bollywood, and C stands for cricket, and that's it. So if you look at where people are spending their time on applications, if you go to the next chart, we're seeing that finally people are making money. Abhi talked about the fact that Singular Wireless is making a lot of money in data services. One thing we've seen is, people, we very much believe in the concept of carriers are not a dumb pipe, but a smart pipe, in the sense that they're a pipe. And now that they're making money out of this pipe by smart applications, we're working with operators and helping them figure out how can you drive mobile content and applications. The next slide is, it's not just a U.S. phenomenon. It's really a global play in terms of applications and content. Interestingly, what the change we made in 2002 was we started focusing more on consumer applications enablement, got out of the enterprise business, and we started working with operators and media companies worldwide. And what we have seen is what used to be a revenue stream when we had customers primarily used to be Altel and Reliance, and we were talking to the mobile operators. What has happened in the last 3 years is the advent of the media companies has really changed our revenue mix. So if you look at our customers now, our biggest clients now are Disney Mobile, ESPN, TV Guide, AOL, and these are the companies that are using our platform to deliver content. So not only are we working with operators, we're seeing the media guys come in and look at wireless in a completely different lens. They're interested in delivering content in the way that the operators want to do it, but what they're using mPortal for is how do we understand the complexities of wireless devices? How do we understand the complexity of wireless networks? Which leads me to the next slide, where the work we're doing for Disney, and Disney just launched their service this week, user experience is going to be a key factor. One of the things the panel will talk about today, and I think Anand's going to ask questions on, is everyone talks about music and video and radio and all of these great applications, but if I have to go through 7 clicks on my phone to find something, I'm never going to use it. You know, we've done panels and surveys where we ask people, you know, how many ringtones have you downloaded? And a lot of people say none, but we know how to do it. And I said, the reason you don't is it's too hard to do. So we're really focusing on the user experience aspect, and this is something we're doing with Disney, where since they're targeting families, moms, and children, it's got to be so easy to use, you can't explain to them, well, fire up your WAP browser. That's not something that the average mom or consumer wants to use it. They understand the movie Cars. So when I see the Cars logo on my screen, and if I click on it, and I can download a Cars wallpaper, a Cars ringtone, and a Cars game, that's something I would do. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, we're really driving at mPortal. And, you know, it's been an interesting 6 years, but I think the next 6 years are when the fun's actually finally beginning to happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Venkatesh. Our next speaker is Tim Wilson, partner at Partech International. Tim joined Partech International in 2001 and focuses on communication and components investments. Between 97 and 2001, Tim was chief marketing officer for Digital Island, a Partech portfolio company. The company was acquired by Cable and Wireless in 2001 for $350 million. Prior to Digital Island, Tim was general manager at Lucent Technology, where he led the international voice communications product management team, now Avaya, with P&L for product lines generating over $2 billion in annual sales, and co-authored a voice over IP-related patent Before Lucent, Tim held a variety of senior management positions within AT&T from 83 to 95, and he has his MBA from Duke University. So with that, I'll give it to Tim.
So thank you, and thank you for having me here today. What I thought I'd do is a couple of different things. First off, if you look at the trends of what's happened, I think you'll get some of those trends will predict where some of this world is going to head. So I thought I'd look at what is going on around the world, and we step back and figured there's a macro trend here going on that the governments around the world are helping the wireless industry with providing spectrum. And there's no doubt that that's going to continue. There's a new spectrum that's going to be auctioned off and opened up around the world, which will continue to drive down the costs. And when you combine that with Moore's Law, there's more efficient use of the spectrum as well. So that's certainly an important issue, but that's not the only one that's out there. The second thing that's happening, as you know, is everything is shrinking. And the technologies underneath the mobile devices, we talked about converged devices. All around the infrastructure right now, I see display companies that are making brighter and more and faster displays for a mobile device. You see power advancements with investments in battery technology and fuel cell technologies. They're helping the devices last longer. You're seeing radios now with this spectrum. You have to deal with multiple frequencies. So all of us, if you look at your pocket, you have a Bluetooth, maybe a Wi-Fi, as well as a wideband connectivity. And when you have multiple bands, the next thing happens is how do I arbitrage the cost of that bandwidth, which is creating new business models and potential for people, but not only in the public Wi-Fi space, but also in the Skype model that says if I'm in a Wi-Fi connected zone, can I Skype out using my voice over IP service and avoid paying Singular the bill? All of this is happening because of governmental action, I believe, as well as Moore's Law. The other thing that's happening in the industry is backhaul economics. If you look at the 100% or triple digit, I don't think you quoted a number, but the triple digit growth rate of data is probably getting concentrated on a couple of T1s to a base station. And when you look at that, the hauling of that data traffic back to the internet is a difficult problem for this industry to solve. And a lot of money is going to go in there in the next couple of years still to solve that problem and open up the ability to use that spectrum and get service. We certainly have seen investments in service delivery platforms, a couple of companies here, as well as the application services on top, and we're just at the beginning. So what I thought I'd do now is put on my future hat and look at themes going forward. One thing that is clear in my mind that there's only a certain amount of things you can do. I mean, I also have the 8125, which I've had for 48 hours and rebooted three times. There's only this barely fits in my pocket, and that's an engineering constraint on the device that will continue. And the other thing is, you know, they have a nice sliding keyboard here, but I'm still limited on my finger size. So where are some opportunities coming in? And you'll see this. I think in the next few years you'll see a lot more. This definitely has a touchscreen on it, but voice activation, yeah, it has some voice. It doesn't work so well yet. I think that will improve. The other thing you'll see is motion-based navigation coming onto this device. I believe you'll have sensors on here that can play games with the rotating of my wrists and that type of thing, opening up new opportunities to monetize and navigate with this content that's on the device itself. The displays themselves, I mean, this isn't bad to watch TV as a personal device. It still is a little bit constraining. I think you'll see some new display technology start to get out there that will allow you to have a small device but also expand the display size, which makes it easy to navigate. And that will be rollable or flexible displays, I think, will finally come on the market after years and years of difficult times for that industry. But I think you'll start to see rollable and flexible displays in the next 4 or 5 years. Multiple frequencies, definitely. Adding the concept of location will be an indoor location systems also will be on and embedded in this device. The other thing that's happening on the device, we all have cameras. You'll see continued advancements in the camera capability, and I think it's important because as you improve from what I call a VGA environment where you just play and you're taking pictures of your vacation, this tool on the camera is going to be much more compelling and powerful in the next few years. When you do that, you can start to change the use cases of how this camera is used. It's not just for snapping pics. It can be for taking, for example, scans of documents. And I heard the speaker at lunch talking about copy. I just watched the ability of you to come in and go like this, take a picture of a document inside a business, and basically rip off the IP of that business much more easier because the camera resolution and the ability to extract ink and do things like recognize barcodes and others on this device will improve with time. Also, when your camera is better, you'll be able to recognize objects, and you'll see applications where objects themselves become the input rather than, and that will be like, where am I, and what am I looking at, and those will be able to be rendered in the background to give you context about what's around you in the world. This device is much more open and therefore much more insecure than ever before. I think you'll see a lot of things around security problems, not only on the, and I have another bullet here, let's see. Yeah, digital rights management and aspect here. Everybody thinks about digital rights management as content that Disney and other people's produce. However, digital rights also can apply to enterprise content. Do I have the right to copy this? Do I have the right to share it? What happens if I lose this device? If I have a lot of files on here now, and I think in a couple of years this thing will have gigabytes and gigabytes of storage on here. So I think the digital rights management aspect, you have to navigate it certainly for the consumers, but you also have to navigate it for the enterprise because this device becomes the laptop that gets stolen from your car, and it has nasty things on it. That means you have to secure and protect it. We've talked about ease of use. I won't go in there. And the other thing anymore, the other thing I just leave with is that the whole model around paying and how it's used, I think you'll see a new generation of service providers that will subsidize the entire service like Skype is doing for the broadband wire world, where you'll end up with a much more ad-interrupt-driven environment, and you'll pay less to have fewer ads. I don't know how to describe it. But that's going to open up a different way to monetize the cell phone business as an ecosystem. It's not just about paying $100 a month to Singular for the service. It's going to end up being maybe paying less to get more ads and ads targeted that are relevant to me or not, as well as the business class, if you will, ad-free model, just like it's happening in the wired world. So with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. I think we're going to run short of time here. So first of all, I wanted to thank everyone for joining us. I wanted to thank Anupam, the producer, who has put a lot of effort to get this session together. And most importantly, I wanted to thank the panel who've taken personal time to be here and talk to us and share their knowledge with us. Thank you very much to the panel.